In the gospel reading today from St. Luke, we hear about these two disciples of our Lord walking along the path to Emmaus, a town about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And they're discussing the events that had taken place, which only makes sense. They were there, they saw our Lord crucified, they were dealing with the apostles as they locked themselves in the upper room, afraid of what was going to be happening. As they pointed out, they were hoping that he was the one who was going to save Israel. Now they had heard that he had risen from the dead, and they left and started going to Emmaus. Does that make any sense? What it shows us is an absolute lack of faith. Perhaps maybe just a lack of understanding. We can't blame them. No one had ever risen from the dead. Well, there were a few people who had been resuscitated, but no one had ever resurrected from the dead before. We can't blame them for not understanding that. And we can't even fully blame them for not getting the point. We can look at it and say, but our Lord told them 3 times what was going to happen to him. And indeed he did. Did they want to listen? No. All you have to do is think about it and ask yourself, if you were to go home tonight and tell your spouse and your children that you were going to be handed over and you were going to be thrown into prison and you were going to be beaten up, do you think they're going to want to hear that? Not usually. We like to hear the good things. And one of the problems, even when we listen to what these two men had to say to Jesus, they said, we were hoping that he was the one. Well, remember that in the Old Testament, there are 2 strands of ideas regarding the Messiah. There are the glorious things and there are the suffering points. We can look forward and say, yeah, our Lord is going to come in glory and all of those things are going to be fulfilled. But put yourself into the situation as it was 2,000 years ago before anything happened. Who wants to hear that the guy who's going to save you is going to be crucified, is going to suffer terribly? Because after all, we want the guy on the white horse. We want the one who's going to be in glory. We want the magnificent one who's going to come and take care of all of these things. We can fall into it even ourselves. Because, for instance, we listen to what St. Peter was telling us in the second reading, and he talks about the fact that our Lord was known from the foundation of the world. It's right there. It's in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis. God made a promise that he was going to send his son, born of a woman. So right from the very beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned, the promise of the Redeemer was there. But did they understand? The answer is no. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we? I think we can all acknowledge, and I hope we would all acknowledge, Jesus is truly God. He is truly man. He is God from all eternity. He was born of our Blessed Lady. We have no question about whether or not he died on the cross. But maybe where the question is for some of us is, did he really rise from the dead? Is the resurrection real? As St. Paul said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we are the deadest of the dead. We're hoping in something that is false, if that's the case. If Jesus is risen from the dead, then death has been destroyed, and it no longer has power over us, as St. Paul said. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then that means that we're not going to rise from the dead either. And think about it. What power do you have to rise from the dead? Zero. None. It is only by the power of God that we will rise from the dead. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then how are we going to? See, so this isn't just some minor little question. This isn't just kind of a side point that we can just kind of ignore. This is central to absolutely everything. This is why the church says that the resurrection is the single greatest event in human history. So it's not a side point, it is the central point of everything. But do we really believe that? That's the question each and every one of us has to ask. Because it's hard for us. We all know that our Lord went to the cross because of our sins. But we really don't like to face that. Any more than the people who heard Peter on the day of Pentecost, as we heard in the first reading, say that, look, you guys used unlawful men to crucify him. It's like, yeah, that kind of cuts right to the heart. But it's one thing to be able to point out that, okay, you used the Romans to crucify him, but it's another to look back at ourselves and say, it's because of my sin that he did this. I can't blame it on the Romans. I can't even blame it on the Jewish hierarchy. I've got to look in the mirror and say, I'm the one who did it. We don't like that. That's hard. But it's the truth. And he did it because he loves us. That's what we have to understand. He's not looking at us and say, you loser, it's because of your sins that I had to do this. No, he's not doing that at all. He's looking at this and saying, I did this because I love you. And I did this because I want you to be with me in heaven for the rest of eternity. I want you to be able to rise from the dead and share in the glory of God in the fullness of your humanity. That's what he desires. Now, how often, like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we hear these words, and maybe even our hearts are burning within us as we hear them. Wow, the idea that, oh, brother donkey here, my body can rise from the dead. The idea that I can go to heaven and I can spend eternity with God. How beautiful. What a wonderful thing. Our hearts burn within us as we hear it. But that's sometimes as far as we get. Think about what happened. Jesus went through every single scripture passage from the Old Testament that talked about him. And still, these two guys didn't get it. Oh, their hearts were burning within them as he went through them all. They still didn't believe in the resurrection. They still didn't understand that he truly was the Son of God, that he is the Son of God. But it wasn't until the breaking of the bread. Suddenly they recognized him. And so that comes then to the next question for each one of us. Do we recognize him in the Holy Eucharist? We know that it's not a symbol of Jesus. We know it's not a sign of Jesus. The Holy Eucharist is Jesus, the entire person of Jesus. He is not physically present in the Eucharist. He is sacramentally present in the Holy Eucharist, which means that when you receive Holy Communion, even though you receive just a tiny little host, you receive literally the entire person of Jesus into yourself. That is Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, ascended, and glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. That is who you receive when you receive Holy Communion. Do you believe that? I mean, really, do you believe that? That's what those two disciples on the road to Emmaus finally recognized. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. So now we can ask ourselves, what is more important to me than Jesus? For these two men, whatever business they had to do in Emmaus was more important to them than the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, because they didn't get it. So if I were to say to you, at a time when, you know, you don't have a lot going on, maybe your favorite TV show tonight, and I stopped over at your house and said, come on with me to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. Let's go to adoration for a while. What's your response going to be? Think seriously about that. How much time do you spend in the adoration chapel? What's more important to you than Jesus? The cartoons? Got to have my favorite show? Got to watch the grass grow in the backyard? I mean, things are really important. I don't have time for Jesus. Think really, really, really seriously about this, and then ask yourself, do I really believe in who he is? Do I really believe he's God? Do I really believe he is truly present under the form of bread and wine, and that is Almighty God? That is the second person of the Trinity. That is the Lord Jesus, who is glorified and in humility and in absolute love for my soul, he is here with me. Am I here with him? That's the real question. There's nothing more important to Jesus than you. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he is right there in the Blessed Sacrament, because he is in love with you. Where do you stand with him? Where does he stand with you, as the case would be? Do we care? Do our hearts burn within us, but we don't get it? Do we not believe? Do we look at it and say, well, you know, I was hoping that he was the one. I was hoping that maybe what he said was really true and maybe I really could go to heaven. But, no, there are no buts. None. It is the truth or it is not. Either he is God or he is not. Either he is risen from the dead or he is not. There is no in-between in this. That's what each one of us now needs to look at within ourselves. When we think about the love of God, when we think about the fact that God would love us so much that he would become a little tiny baby, and that he loves us so much that he would die for us and give himself to us, our hearts burn as we hear these things. Or we don't even want to hear him and we turn our hearts away, because it's too difficult for us. Because we can't even believe that we're lovable. We can't believe that God loves us, let alone that he loves us that much. So now, again, I just ask you and challenge you, look inside and ask yourself, what's your response when you hear those things? Are you just turning away? Is your heart burning within you? Or can you really, truly look up at him and say, I love you too? Those are the options. The beauty is, because it's love, we can't keep it at an arm's distance. So either we ignore it and don't believe, or we have to let him in. So again, how important is he to you? He's proven how important you are to him. He has proven to you that he's in love with you. Can we spend some time with him? Can we show him that we love him? Do we want to be with him? Is there something more important to us than him? Those are the kinds of things each one of us needs to look at. Maybe if we can recognize him there, we will be like these two men who suddenly had a total change of heart. Whatever they were going to Emmaus for didn't matter anymore. They got up and hightailed it back to Jerusalem in the dark. They had to walk. But suddenly there was nothing more important, because they understood. They recognized not only that their hearts were burning, but their hearts were filled with the love of God. That's what God wants to do in our hearts, every one of us. So we can become like that. We can receive that love and we can be changed. Do we want that? That's the question. So look within. Again, ask yourself, what's going on in your heart and in your mind as you hear these things? And when you look at Jesus, especially when you're going to receive him in the Holy Eucharist in a few minutes, what's your response? The only proper response to love is to love in return.